Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to know you and to understand your word, to understand ourselves. We pray that we would hear and believe. We pray that we would be humble and would know that your word speaks the truth. Lord, give us insight into ourselves. Give us insight into the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've come to our final sermon in this series, looking at big questions that people have about Jesus, about Christianity, about the Bible. And the aim has been to obviously answer the questions that people have, people who are in the church and people who are outside the church, and also to give an idea, to give an example of some of the ways and some of the points that we as a church could make, we as an individual could make, when others outside the church ask us these questions as well. Like I said in the first week, some of these questions have had oceans of ink spilt in answering and debating, and so we can only give the beginnings of an answer here. But today's question is different to all the other ones that we've looked at. The others were questions about what Christians believe. Is there a God? Did Jesus rise? What about the other religions? But today's question goes beyond the beliefs of Christians and looks at the Christians themselves. Aren't Christians hypocrites? You can imagine a smoker going to his doctor and the doctor telling him to quit. We all know that's good advice, that smoking ruins your health. But imagine how that smoker would feel the next day seeing his doctor out on the street smoking. What would be going through his mind? Aren't Christians hypocrites, claiming to be good people, to have life worked out, but being just like everyone else? Having opinions about morality that they don't stick to themselves. Why should people listen to Christians who don't live up to the standards that they have made for others to live by? There's a few issues involved in trying to answer this question, and it's important for us who are in the church to have a good, hard look at ourselves to see if the accusation is fair. But the big thing I hope comes across as we think about this very important question is that the church is full of sinners. It is full of failures. And there is room for more. The church is full of sinners and failures, and there is room for more. As we start to explore this issue of Christians being hypocrites, one point, the first point that we're going to make is there are bad fish in the church. They look like all the others. They do and say the right things, but they aren't the real deal. They aren't the genuine article. There are bad fish in the church. In Matthew 7, as we have just read, Jesus said some of the most chilling words for a Christian to hear. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, Jesus' focus in these verses is the false prophets, the false teachers who've come into the church. They look the part, but their hearts aren't right. They aren't genuine. And if these are his words to them, it can be true of the normal person in the pew too. Jesus is warning that there are many people who say they are Christian, who say they follow Jesus, but they aren't and they don't. They claim to have Christian morals. They mark Christian on the census. Or if they want to be extra holy, they might even say they're Presbyterian. That was a joke. It's okay. Jesus is warning that there will be people who will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not come to church each week? Did we not give money at church each week? Did we not pray when we needed help?" And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. You're a stranger to me." And these people, so confident, who thought that they had done enough, they will be sentenced to eternal punishment by the eternal God because they haven't found forgiveness for their sin. They haven't found forgiveness in Christ. Aren't Christians hypocrites? According to these words in Jesus, there are people in the church wearing a mask. They're not really Christians, and they seem to be fooling everyone, maybe even themselves, but they can't fool Jesus. The wolf managed to fool Red Riding Hood for a time, but she knew that something was off, pointing out the big ears, eyes, hands, mouth. There was something wrong that she couldn't quite put her finger on. The wolf almost looked the part, wearing her grandmother's clothes, laying down in the grandmother's bed. He'd managed to cover up most of the things that would give him away. It was disastrous for the girl until the hunter came and dealt with the wolf. And it's disastrous for the church that there are people in the church who pretend to be part of it, but who aren't. They gather with the church. They sing. They give. They say the same words, the right words. But they don't have faith. Some of them are deliberately deceiving, pretending. Others don't realise what a true Christian is, but they have a mask. And they fool a lot of people. But Jesus promises that this kind of hypocrisy, this pretending, will be found out. "I never knew you," he'll say. In Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50, the day of judgment is described like fishing. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a warning for all of us here. Everyone will be separated and examined. And if you're a bad fish, if you are wicked, you will be cast into the furnace. Only a good fish will be gathered to enjoy the wonders of the new creation Jesus will bring. And so, how can we be good enough? Well, we've already thought of this question, haven't we? How can we be good enough? By realizing that we're not good enough. Like Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who want righteousness and know that they don't have any of their own, for they shall be filled. There's bad fish in the church, people who think that they're good enough for God, or they're pretending to be. But Jesus will only accept the righteous. And that's something that we'll be thinking about in our next point now. All Christians are guilty of sin. All Christians are guilty of sin and striving for godliness. And this is the point, really, that people think of when they hear that word hypocrisy. In Jesus' day, the word meant play acting, putting on a mask, like we were just looking at. But today, hypocrisy means something different. When Christians today are accused of hypocrisy, we're accused of having certain standards, but not living up to them. Preaching one thing for others, but believing that we are the exception. We can do whatever we want. But as we turn to 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5, through to chapter 2, verse 6, we can see that it's actually more complicated than that. The common belief people have about Christianity is that it's all about being good. Good enough for God, making yourself good enough to get to heaven. But is that what John says? Did you notice what he said in chapter 1, verse 6? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This is another one of those verses which makes the Christian start to sweat. If you read it in isolation, it sounds like it's saying that if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, then you need to be perfect. That if you're a Christian, God should have so changed you that you just don't sin anymore. That's what it sounds like in isolation. Now, some taught this in the 19th century. Charles Spurgeon, a famous English preacher, was once at a conference where a speaker there was claiming to have reached sinless perfection. Now, there's a few different versions of what happened next. In one version, the next morning, Spurgeon went over to the man and poured milk over his head. In another version, Spurgeon stomped on the man's foot. Either way, the man who claimed to be sinless reacted in a very sinful way, as you can imagine. The Bible doesn't say Christians are perfect or can reach perfection in this life. But look at verse 6. The person who says that they have fellowship with God but walks in darkness is lying. So what does this mean? What does it mean to walk in darkness? Well, it can't be, in the context of this passage, it can't be that whenever you sin, all of a sudden you're out of fellowship with God. You're walking in darkness. Verse 8 there says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John expects Christians will sin and will continue to need Jesus to cleanse them. To walk in darkness can't mean individual acts of sin. A life where we aren't turning away from sin, we aren't repenting from it. To walk in darkness can't mean individual acts of sin. It must mean to live a life of sin. A life where we aren't turning away from sin, where we aren't repenting from it. All Christians are guilty of sin. We don't claim otherwise. When people say that Christians are hypocrites because they don't live up to their own standards, they usually don't realise that Christians don't claim to be able to reach that standard. God demands perfection, and we readily admit we have fallen short. We can't make it. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need forgiveness, because we can't do what we're supposed to do. We can't reach that standard. But does this give the Christian a free pass to sin? Can we say, well, God demands perfection, and he sent Jesus to forgive me because I'm not perfect, and so that means I can do whatever I want because he'll forgive me anyway? Can the Christian say that? No. That is walking in darkness, being content with sin. What does John say in chapter 2, verse 1? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. All Christians are guilty of sin and striving for godliness. We will never be perfect in this life, but we work towards it. Because being a Christian means hating the sin that sent Jesus to his death. When you're a Christian, you love Jesus. And you want to live for him. You walk in the light, striving for godliness and finding forgiveness when you stray. Christians are sinners. We know God's standards, they are good standards, and we freely admit that no Christian lives up to them. We know what's right, we know what we should do, and we don't do it. But we also proclaim that Jesus is our advocate. Chapter 2, verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sin, meaning he took our punishment. He took God's anger, which was directed at us. Are all Christians hypocritical? Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We all do what we know is wrong, what we know is sinful, what we know God hates. We know God's standards, his laws, his rules, and we deliberately disobey them. The church is full of sinners and failures, and there is room for more. Christians are hypocrites, yes, but that doesn't mean that we're wrong. It means we're like everyone else. It means that we are sinners in need of saving. We are sinners who need Jesus. If you're not a Christian, I know there have been people claiming to be Christian who have done horrific things. I know. Women and children have been hurt, abused by some claiming to be Christian, by those who are actually leaders in the church. And some churches didn't respond by calling the police. Instead, they decided to protect themselves, protect their own reputation, protect the perpetrator without caring about the hurt, at the expense of the hurt. And that was evil, and that was wrong, and there is no excuse, and it never should have happened. You're right that the church and Christians have been guilty of terrible evil. But the message of the church is not, look at me, I am so holy, you should believe everything I say. The message of the church, of genuine Christians, is, I am so sinful. I'm so sinful. I need a saviour, and I have found Jesus. He is the only saviour, and he can save you. That is our message. God promises that all evil will be judged. Every thoughtless word, every violent fist, every hypocritical action. And the reality is we are all guilty of hypocrisy, whether we are Christian or not. We all have moral standards that we haven't lived up to. Whether they're God's standards or our own standards, we haven't lived up to them. And all of that wrongdoing will be punished. But who's going to face the punishment for your sin? For your hypocrisy? It'll be one of two people. Either you will be punished for your own sin, or Jesus will be. Either you will face the anger of God, you will face his eternal punishment, his eternal judgment for sin in hell, which is the place of punishment. Or you can have all of your guilt paid for instead by Jesus, by his death on the cross. Don't judge the message of the church by the church itself. Yes, the church, we can always do better. But our claim is not that we are perfect and that you can find the same perfection if you listen to us. No, we are sinners, we are failures, we are saved by God's grace, and there is room here for more sinners, for more failures to come and find forgiveness in Jesus. There is room. And so trust in Jesus and join us. If you're a Christian, trusting in Jesus to save you, to forgive you by his death on the cross, by his rising to new life, well, this means two things for you. First, don't be scared to admit your sin. Don't feel the need to put on that perfect face. Don't be offended when people accuse you of being a sinner. That is one of the basic things that we believe as Christians. We are sinners. When someone accuses you of sin, of hypocrisy, of anything, have a think to see if actually they're right in this case. And be willing to admit it. Don't try and protect yourself. Admit your wrongdoing. Admit all of your wrongdoing. And then you can tell them about the salvation that you have found, which they can find if they would trust in Jesus. And second, don't be content with your sin. Don't just shrug your shoulders, thinking it's okay to not make any effort to grow in godliness. Just live my life wherever I want to. John wrote so that his audience would not sin. We're supposed to be putting sin to death. If you're not worried by your sin, that is a potential sign that actually you're not a Christian. If you are content to sin, you need to ask yourself whether you are really saved at all. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." And so, do you keep his commandments? Not perfectly, obviously. But do you even try? Do you cry out for forgiveness when you fail? Do you ever even think about it? Does it ever register that you failed? Christians are hypocrites, but we strive to live holy lives. We strive for godliness. Now, if you're starting to feel a bit panicked, wondering if you really are a Christian, whether you care enough about your sin, don't just panic and leave it there and just stay in this state of panic. Examine yourself. Do you really believe in Jesus? Has your life changed because of Jesus? Don't just decide that because you're not perfect, that means you're not safe. Only Jesus is perfect. But have you made any progress? Are you more loving than you used to be? More kind? More humble? When you read about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, do you see yourself growing in these? The church is full of sinners and failures. That is clear from everything we read in the New Testament. We will only be freed from our sin completely when we leave this life. But if we're trusting in Jesus, we are saved. And so have you been saved? The church is full of sinners and failures, and we have been given forgiveness if we trust in Jesus. And the good news is there is room for more. And so if you haven't found that forgiveness yet, find it this morning and join us. Let's pray. Our Father, you are God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You are the good, holy, and righteous one, and you will not stand with sin. You will not put up with sin. You do not think that sin is a joke. You will judge it. Lord, you have holy laws. You have a holy standard, which we have all failed to uphold and to achieve. But we thank you that Christ has achieved it. That at his death, he took our sin. He took our judgment. He took the sin of those who would trust in you, and he gave us his righteousness, his goodness. We pray that we would not be protecting ourselves, that we would think that we can hide from our sin, that we can deny that we are sinful. But we pray that we will be ready to admit, ready to confess that we have not lived your way, but that Jesus is our Saviour. Lord, may you work salvation in anyone here this morning who does not truly know you. Lord, whether they are a stranger, whether they are well known, Lord, may we all leave here this morning trusting in Jesus and in him alone to save us. And may we strive for godliness. May we strive to be like Jesus and to live for him, to walk in the light and not in the darkness, knowing that when we stumble, there is forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.